You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
He said, I'm doing something new. You're going to look up one day, Bethel, and lesbians going to walk through that door looking like men, smelling like men. And God's going to tell them to sit right next to you. And if you withdraw and recoil, he's going to say, you ain't ready. He's going to look for the one that says, welcome, glad to have you. My name is so-and-so. What's your name? Jesus died for you. I don't care that you look like you're lost. We were all lost. God is going to send people drunk as could be into this church with eyes as red as this carpet. And if he seats them next to you, he expects you to say, I love you. Who wants something new? Tired of the same old thing. It's time. It's time for this church and the entire body of Christ to undergo a rampant metamorphosis. We don't have time for all this cute stuff no more. No more big shots. We don't need another apostle, another bishop, another pastor. We don't need another nobody. What we need is the Holy Spirit. What we need is the anointing. What we need is broken lives. Listen to Paul. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal. Listen to the, oh my God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My pastor used to say, learn to think God's thoughts. We see that scripture in Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, learn to think God's thoughts. God wasn't telling you you could never have his thoughts. He was just saying, our thoughts are not compatible. So learn to think like me. Greatest deficit I have is when people try to come into my life and be my friend. They don't understand me. I'm an enigma. I'm a fortune in the fortune cookie. Nobody understands me. People accuse me of being mean. I sat with some pastors a few weeks ago. Pastor I was talking with, I was with Pastor Harley at his church a few weeks ago, and they were having an anniversary, so I went to support my brother. And afterwards, they had a little ministry get together. Man was sitting across from me. He told Bishop Harley, he said, I thought Lambert was mean. Tony said, everybody think he mean. I told Tony, stop telling people I'm not mean. Let them keep thinking I'm mean. And they'll leave me alone. I think you're mean. They called my buddy, Pastor Moore. He don't never stay to eat. He come in, preach, and leave. They don't understand me. Why? Because they don't learn my thoughts. Well, see, that's what's happened in Pentecost. For years, preachers had you scared of God. Don't talk to him. He's holy. Come into his presence. When I was a young Christian, there was a person standing in the back. Be quiet. Shut your mouth. Don't talk. So you walked in church like you were going to prison. You were waiting to get your hands stamped so you could get out. One mother told me, I was sitting in church like this. She said, unfold your arms. You bind in the spirit. I snatched my arms away. Don't want to bind him. Then it dawned on me, if my blood is circulating, why can't he? Some of you came in here today. Oh, I better put on lipstick. Oh, my hair better be combed right. No, just throw on a hat and come on in. Well, I got to get some Clorox. I was smoking before I came to church. No, come on in stinking like smoke. The blood will wash you. If you smell like scotch, come on in. We got some blood to wash you in. If you were whoring around the night before, come on in. Jesus will deliver you. If you're searching for your sexuality, I ain't sure, but I think I'm a woman in a man's body. Come to Jesus. He'll get the woman out of you. Adam had a woman in his body. God took him out, took it out. Cause it'll give you indigestion. He reached right in, took that woman, get out of there. So maybe you're sitting here today and you think you got a woman in you, let Jesus take her out. And then you can marry her. Then y'all can get together. Don't feel bad. I know you were born that way. That's why you need to be born again. Saints, don't put anybody into hell. You're here to be a light. You're here to show them how to get out. The church has declared war on homosexuality. God didn't call us to declare war. He called us to shine. He called us to let them know, my God. Jesus was at some legalist home, and he's sitting up there eating ribs and french fries and mashed potatoes and collard greens and candy yams and biscuits and sweet potato pie. I mean, he turned around and looked for the potato salad, and they said, we don't have any. He said, that's all right. And he made it. And while he was sitting there, this woman came and sat down at his feet. And the legalist starts saying, if he was such a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that was sitting at his feet. And Jesus heard what they thought. He turned around and said to the host, he said, let me ask you a question, blood. He said, let me rap to you, dog. Let me rap to you. He said, go ahead. What is it? He said, now, I done been in your house for about 3 hours now. Sat through the appetizer, the shrimp cocktail. Forgive me, Father. Sat through the lobster. And now you're serving the main course. You got ham and all this up here. He said, and not once did you wash my feet. The host said, oh, my goodness. I just took it for granted that it was all right. He said, but this woman. She has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And her sins, which are many. All right, I'm going to bust the theological bubble. He said, they are forgiven. And she did not ask to be forgiven. She didn't say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Wash me clean in the blood. She got down to his feet. And anytime you get on your face and fall at his feet, that is an act of submission. And it is the humble that receive from God, not the arrogant who stand up and demand forgiveness. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'm doing a new thing. I'm humbling people. God humbles everybody at some point. Nebuchadnezzar stuck his head off the balcony of his house and said, look at all that I created. This is all mine. God said, take care of this. Next thing you know, he hopping around the fields with long nails and dreadlocks and eating grass like a cow. And after 7 days, he came back and said, there is no God but the God of Israel. But see, now that you're hearing this, you can humble yourself willingly. When you leave here, fall on your face and say, God, I would not be where I am without you. Whatever I have came from you. My life comes from you. My troubles come from you. Therefore, I know they are going to do me good. Even these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, are not worthy to be compared to what I... Oh, my God, I wish I had a church. I go to this trainer at my gym twice a week. I go to a trainer, and Ryan, his name's Ryan, he wears me out. So I went Friday, and he said, we're going to do a little extra. I said, go for it. I always wear my Marine Corps T-shirts when I go. Motivates me. He said, we're going to do something. We start doing stuff. He said, I know I'm hard on you. I said, yeah, but you know the results are going to be better. I said, so come on with the heart. He had me doing stuff that in the natural, I could punch him in his mouth. He likes to do fist bumps. I was thinking one day to miss the fist, especially after Friday. Then he picked up this medicine ball. He said, now throw it to me. Oh, I was all right then. I was like, you want me to throw it to you? He said, yeah, throw it to me. Try to knock me down. I'll glory to God. He said, yeah, get mad. I'm going to knock him down. He said, now your heart rate's going up. He said, this is good cardio. Even what I was using for something negative, he said it had something good. And he's not God. You get my point. when you go through something, it's not worthy to be compared to what you're going to be when you come out. You are going to be a devil slayer, a demon chaser, a sick healer. You are going to be an individual that God can plant in areas of darkness to bring light. But it's time for something new. I don't want the old anymore. I don't want the old. As hard as it is, I can't cheer for the Celtics anymore. Here's why. I was cheering for the Celtics of old. I go to basketball game with Marty, and we'll be up there, and I'll be cheering for the Celtics of old, calling for Bill Russell, John Havlicek. John Havlicek dead. Bill Russell looked like he about ready to die. And I'm up there, yeah, Celtics! I said, you know what? This is ridiculous. I can't cheer for the Sixers, so I just go for the hot dog. There's one part of the game that I like. I keep telling Marty, is we got to do this. When they do the introduction and they have the fire coming out of the things, I said, Martin, I want that introduction. That's right. I told him, I said, we got to do something new. And he promised to get it for me, but I ain't seen it yet. Where they have the flames shooting out of the corners. And now, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Put your hands together for God's lightning rod. The voice of Bethel. Then they turn the lights off and fire shoots up out the stage. After that, I go get a hot dog. I'm done. And I think that's what some of us do. When we come to Jesus, there's all this fanfare. They actually take you upstairs and talk to you individually and make you think we love you. Come on, and you walk right on over this. And once they get you behind that door, you go upstairs. Now, we want to explain to you what you've just done. You are now in the family of God, and you have brothers and sisters, and we love you, and we'll be there for you. And you're like, yes, you buy the lie. Then next week, nobody speaks to you. Not even the person who welcomed you to the follow-up room. Hi, I'm back. Who are you? Where you come from? I don't know who you are. Usher. And that's why you've got to be so connected with God that even if people don't speak to you, it's all right. It's all right if you don't speak to me. Say it's all right. Say it's all right. Say it's all right. Say to have a good time. So what is God doing? Stripping you from your need to be acknowledged. You don't come to church to be acknowledged. You come to join your faith with somebody else's faith and put the devil on the run. Everybody in here that's sick ought to be getting healed. Because you get some people with faith who know how to pray you through. It's time to get off the pacifier and get a hold of the new wine. It's time to stand up for God. I'm doing something new. Can't you see it? Say, how do I know? By the depth of your problem. By the depth of your situation. God is doing something new. When God lets more devils hit you, he's telling you you're stronger. Instead of whining, say, hey! Yes, sir. Get yourself together. Any real man likes to show off for his woman. Now, I'm sorry that that's kind of disappeared in the 21st century. So I'm talking to real men. Real men, who? Just a few of you, all right. The rest of you still trying to find your way. I understand. But a real man likes to be exalted. He likes for his woman to say things. You my man. You want to see his chest go up another 6 inches? Give him a task and say, can't nobody do it like you. He's like, yeah, yeah. Because he'll put a whole new bathroom in. Can't even swing a hammer. Just do it because you blew in his ear and fed him some fruit. And since men are made in the image of God, a simple deduction says that whenever you give God praise, he wants to show you his power. But he can't show you his power under old circumstances. How many of you are finding that you're getting new battles right now? Battles you did not expect. Oh, you ought to be rejoicing. Because here's what God is. Oh, Jesus. Ryan took me past a guy who was going to do some snatch and jerk. And I looked at what he had on that machine. I mean, on that weight. And he didn't look like he must have weighed about 180 pounds. Thin as could be. And I said to Ryan, I said, he going to pick that up? Ryan said, yeah. I said, that's Olympic size. He said, he going to pick it up. And then he said something that made me want to cancel my membership. He said, Eric, you going to be doing that. I said, the devil is a lie. My muscles said, I wish I could tell you what my muscles said, but I'm still in church. My muscles said, ain't no way. Because, see, here's what he told me. He said, we're going to take you into a whole new world. He said, but we're going to start out with this. See, God set you up when you got saved. You did all that shouting and dancing and falling out. And you said, oh, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yata boshata. Now you ain't saying yata boshata. You saying, come get me. He set you up. Lo, I'm with you always. And you were like, yes, he's with me. I heard his voice. I heard his voice. I felt his presence. And then you have a Job experience. You call him, he don't answer. You try to feel him, he ain't there. And then you have to come to the conclusion, if I can't find him, he knows where I am. So I have to rest in the fact that he knows where I am. That's something new. God showed Ezekiel an anointed river coming out from under his temple. The river starts out at ankle height, then it goes to knee height, then it goes to waist height, and then it goes and completely inundates the body. God shows Ezekiel the children of Israel coming back together. God shows Ezekiel the tribes coming from the north and God defending his people. God shows Ezekiel many great visions, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He shows him great things, but then he brings him to a chapter with the valley filled with dry bones. And he says, can they live again? I need to know your perception. Ezekiel said, you know. I ain't even going to hazard a guess. You know. God said, here's what you have to do. Speak to him. Something new now. Don't touch him. Just speak to him. What does he say in church? He's bringing us to a place where you can speak to your circumstance, where you can speak to your condition, where you can speak to your sickness, and you don't have to worry. Just speak to it. God told me several months ago, he said, tell my people to stop asking for healing and start commanding new parts. You can tell your heart, I want God, give me a new heart and speak to that heart and say, God, I thank you for my new heart. God, I thank you for my new lungs. I thank you for my new kidney. I thank you for my new pancreas. If the world's doctors can do transplants, why can't the original manufacturer transplant? Oh, Jesus. He said, I'm going to make a way for you. He said, through the wilderness. In Bible times, the wilderness was so completely dark. It was so completely covered by vegetation. You couldn't see your way through. You couldn't even see a path. But God said, I'm going to make a way. What does that mean to you and I? Some of us, all if not all of us, have reached a point in our lives at one place where we say, God, we don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. God said, I'm going to make a path for you. He never calls us to make our own path. He calls us to wait. And that is the hardest discipline of our Christian lives. because we have answers. God says, no, you don't have an answer, because if you had an answer, you wouldn't be in this situation. But what you must do is trust my plan. My plan, my plan, my plan. I glory to God. If you ever go to watch a house being built or a building being built, you look at that building and you watch the carpenters and the electricians and the plumbers all putting it together. And you wonder, how is it that the plumber can put the lines exactly where they need to be even before there's a wall in place? They have a plan. It's called a blueprint. Are you with me? Now, so when you first look at it while they're building it, it doesn't make sense to you. You're wondering, how's that soil line going to be able to carry out waste? You haven't seen the connected to the main sewer line yet. You wonder how they're going to get those wires through the walls, and there's no walls up yet. Well, God is saying, I have a plan, and you can't see every page of my plan for your life, but please know I'm using new construction. I'm not doing things like I did in the 50s and the 60s. I'm not saying that was bad. I'm just saying this is better. I want you to graduate to being able to speak things into existence, to stretching out your hand and expecting God to move. I want you to learn how to act in my stead. I want you to learn how to be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, to tell the devil his presence is no longer welcomed in our church. We will not tolerate backbiting, gossiping, fault finding, criticizing. We will not tolerate it. This will be a place of love, edifying, exhorting. This will be a place of encouragement, because God moves in that arena. I want something new. I want something new. I want something new. I want to be a new man, a new woman that speaks with a new tongue. No more doubt. Tell your neighbor, no more doubt. No more doubt. Tell him, no more doubt. No more doubt. Tell somebody, no more fear. No more fear. I'm not even going to talk that way.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, A New Time is Coming, or the program number, 083-19-P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
A strong church consists of strong families with fortified marriages. Cultural influences have infiltrated our homes, our families, and our marriages. It's time to stand our ground and fight for our families. Come and learn how to apply godly principles that reveal the enemy's tactics and help you to bring glory to God in your marriage. All married couples are invited to Ask Bishop Lambert for Married Couples, Friday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, Pennsylvania. Receive a biblical understanding about marriage during this intimate gathering. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit BethelDeliverance.org. Let's gather together for this special session to discover how to build our marriages and our homes. We'll see you there. Mark your calendars now as the Sons of Bethel return for the Koinonia Fall Revival. During this exciting homecoming, we'll hear from Pastor Jason Spruill of Smyrna, Delaware, Pastor Kevin Washington of Camden, New Jersey, Pastor Tim Baldwin of Northeast Philadelphia, and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Pottstown, PA. Services will be held Tuesday, October 15th through Friday, October 18th at 7 p.m. nightly at the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. The address is 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, PA, 19019. 9-5.